The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome, everyone. It is Tuesday, February 9th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, Normal Outreach Coordinator, glad to be bringing you the growing truth about cannabis from beautiful Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo, it's a way of life. And joining us in the virtual studio from Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ.
Oh, hello, Carrie. How are you today?
Terrific. It's beautiful and sunny here in the Northwest today.
I know. We've got to lord it over on our friends out there on the East Coast. I talked to Alan St. Pierre and Keith Stropp sent me an email today saying he was trudging in to work in D.C. They're buried under like 20, 30 inches of snow out there.
Oh, my goodness. Snowmageddon.
It's Snowmageddon on the East Coast. We'll keep things nice and toasty here on the airwaves for you. Everybody out there in the East Coast, be safe. And, if you're stuck in the house, I got some suggestions on some things you could do. Anyway, Carrie brings us our news right after the first break. Carrie, what are we looking at for headlines today?
Well, we're going to look at that study out of Canada about cannabis and Alzheimer's, maybe debunk that a little bit. We're going to go to Laguna Woods, California, and look at their community garden program. And then we're also going to go to Denver and see how their first day of accepting license applications went.
All right. We'll check that out. Hang on tight, Carrie. We'll have you back right after the break. And coming up on today's show, we've got a lot of stuff for you. First of all, Allison Holcomb from the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington will be joining us. She's with the Drug Reform Board there at the ACLU, as well as Kevin Oliver from the newly promoted Washington State Normal. Both of them will be here to be talking about a bill in the Washington legislature to decriminalize marijuana, as well as the sensible Washington effort to legalize marijuana. It's also Tuesday, which means it's time for our California Marijuana Report featuring Eric Brenner, brought to you from Beverly Hills Normal 90210.org. And the report today is with an interview with the chief of staff for Senator Calderon in Los Angeles, and a bill that would tax and regulate marijuana, but criminalize its use. Sounds like an interesting contradiction. Looking forward to the interview to find out how that works out. And at the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Dan Vietz, who's a member of the Normal Board of Directors. He is also the head of Missouri Normal. They've got a big lobby day that's coming up tomorrow, and they're trying to get folks out in the Show Me State to show up for marijuana reform. Remember, folks, you got to visit your legislature sometime. These folks don't know what to do until we tell them what to do. They are public servants. Let's give them a few orders. And one of those orders should be to bring medical marijuana to the state of Missouri. Dan will be here to talk about the fledgling medical marijuana bill that's going in Missouri and the efforts to get it passed. All of that and more is coming up on your Normal Show Live. Please stick around. Log on at live.normal.org. Check our blog at stash.normal.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. All right, 6 after the hour, reminding everyone to check out norml.org. On the right side of the page, look for Write Your Representative. We've got the latest alerts in all of the states, 25 to date, that will be working on marijuana reform. Help us legalize.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A new study has just been published in Canada that questions marijuana's effectiveness as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease. Previous studies have shown that low levels of marijuana's active ingredient, THC, could prevent the plaque deposits that accumulate on the brain of Alzheimer's patients that cause the debilitating effects of the disease. Researchers at the University of British Columbia and Vancouver Coastal Health Research Institute came to a different conclusion that medical cannabis isn't beneficial in Alzheimer's and might even be detrimental to Alzheimer's patients. They tested mice after using HU210, a synthetic version of marijuana's derived compounds. The mice that were treated with this synthetic compound did not perform better than untreated mice on memory tests. Further testing showed that the treated mice had fewer brain cells than their untreated counterparts. The researchers did add that further studies are needed to determine the effectiveness of cannabis as a potential treatment option for Alzheimer's. Now, interestingly, Alzheimer's rage, a symptom of the devastating disease, is the only psychiatric condition for which medical marijuana is approved by the State of Oregon's Medical Marijuana Program.
Yes, this is that Alzheimer's agitation was fairly recent addition here in the state of Oregon, and anecdotally, we've heard many reports of people getting great relief from the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, or, you know, staving off the loss of memory through the use of cannabis. It is important that we pay attention to this research, but I have a lot of questions about this research, and it's something I'd like to bring up with Dr. Mitch maybe on a future episode. And that is, first of all, they're using a synthetic analog to THC in the lab. So we're not getting these results with human trials, and we're not getting these results with actual cannabis. Furthermore, we understand as we look at the use of dronabinol, THC, the synthetic Marinol pill, that the use of THC by itself does not have the same synergistic properties you get when you use a whole plant compound or use the whole plant. So I don't know if we want to take too much out of this research with this this synthetic analog, especially it's only in clinical trials with mice. That being said, we do need to emphasize that using any sort of medicine is not without possible risks, and it's always important to check the risks versus the benefits. But in the case of medical cannabis, there are so few risks and so little side effects, I don't see why it wouldn't be worth a shot to continue these trials with human beings and to find out truly once and for all if medical marijuana can be useful for treating Alzheimer's itself.
The community of Laguna Woods, California is speckled with community gardens. But thanks to a vote last week by the Golden Rain Foundation Board that oversees the community garden centers, growing medical marijuana will not be allowed. The board voted unanimously to ban any Laguna Woods Village residents from growing cannabis in open gardens due to the risk it could put the community at for potential criminal activity. The board acted on a recommendation from a January 28th meeting, an action that would normally go through a few committees and then a vote in an open session. Instead, the board had a quick closed session meeting and voted unanimously to ban any medical cannabis in the gardens. With over 1,200 plots on 8 acres, only one resident currently uses his space to grow a little medical marijuana. The board pointed out that residents can still grow cannabis in their homes or on their patios unless their homeowners association prohibit it. Now, the Orange County Sheriff's Department said that it would not take any action if a resident growing marijuana with a medical recommendation did grow cannabis in the community space.
Well, you know, this is a tough one to have to talk about, because of course I support the right of people to grow their own cannabis, especially for medical purposes. But we're also talking about a community garden where, you know, other people would be around the garden, you know, people that aren't the registered patient, and possibly these folks' kids could be there as well. Now, I'm not trying to say that that would be harmful in any way. You know, I don't have a problem with it. But I can see where law enforcement might have an issue with people that aren't registered patients being able to access a live growing cannabis plant. And once again, it just, you know, details the absurdity of having a law where sick people are allowed to grow cannabis and healthy people are not. You know, as long as we have this dichotomy where the cops are forced to try to figure out who's legal, who's not, who's sick, who's healthy, we're going to have these stupid situations show up where a person can't grow a simple plant in the community garden. You know, and also I can understand perhaps the worry about crime. You know, there could be the worry of, you know, criminals trying to break into the community garden and steal the plants as it gets close, steal the buds as it gets close to harvest time or whatever. I mean, this happens with marijuana grows all the time. But again, once again, that's the problem with not having full legalization, is that it makes the plant worth so much that it's worth stealing. Nobody's breaking into the community gardens to steal zucchini. Right? Nobody's breaking in to steal potatoes, because anybody who wants to can grow potatoes. Anybody who wants to can go buy zucchini, or much more likely have zucchini given to you by your friends and family from their gardens who can't get rid of the stuff. That's the way marijuana needs to be. It's an ironic thing for law enforcement to have to accept that the best way to control marijuana is for them to let go of marijuana, to let marijuana be treated like any other consumer plant that can be grown at home for your own personal purposes or purchased commercially with proper regulations and FDA inspections and making sure it's not tainted with pesticides or anything else harmful. Let's do the sensible thing here and just legalize marijuana for everyone so we can all grow it in our community gardens.
And yesterday was the very first day that the Denver Department of Excise and Licenses started accepting applications for medical marijuana dispensary licenses, according to the ordinance passed last month by the Denver City Council. As of yesterday, Denver had issued 484 sales tax licenses to dispensaries, and every single one of them
is for them to let go of marijuana, to let marijuana be treated like any other
for sales tax licenses to dispensary, and every one of them will now need to file for a dispensary license by March 1st to stay in business. Along with the new applications, any dispensaries opening up since December 15th of last year will have to adhere to new buffer zones, along with all the other new regulations that will oversee the Denver dispensary industry. Those turning in their new license applications had to include the $5,033 in fees, along with waiting in line to be fingerprinted. Anyone owning 10% or more of a dispensary must be fingerprinted and have a background check completed. The Denver office that receives the applications was ready for an onslaught, but only had to process about 20 applications, turning 6 away to finish completing their paperwork. This small group of non-procrastinators still netted the city a quick $100,000, and with 3 weeks and hundreds more of applications to go, those that count the money in city coffers will be busy as well.
Wow, that's quite a bit of money to be pulling up here so quickly. And first of all, let me apologize to you, Carrie, for pressing the wrong button over here in the studio. We had kind of a time warp loop there. I was 9 seconds in the past. It was amazing. Anyway, with regard to these this dispensary regulations, we're keeping a close eye on Colorado. It's got a really booming cannabis industry out there with all these dispensaries that are cropping up around there. Pardon the pun. Per capita wise, when we look in the city of Denver, there is more dispensaries per capita there than what we have in Los Angeles. So it is going to be a big market, and we, again, will keep our eyes on that here at Normal Show Live. Thanks, Carrie, for the news. We'll be back with you a little bit later. Have you hang on the line. Right now, let's get to our calendar. It's 420 somewhere. All right, it's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find online at norml.org/calendar. You do have to be a normal chapter to participate in the calendar. Coming up later today in Joplin, Missouri, the Joplin Normal Monthly Meeting will be taking place. Check out joplin-normal.org. On Wednesday, February 10th, there is a general meeting, but I don't know who for. Sometimes when folks enter these on the calendar, they enter them and then they don't put down the name of their chapter. So I don't know who's having a general meeting tomorrow, but maybe that'll be updated on the calendar by the end of the day. On Thursday, February 11th, there is a meeting for University of New Hampshire Normal at the MUB 334. Check out University of New Hampshire Normal for details. Ohio Normal is having their open meeting via PAL Talk. This is online. Check out ohionormal.org for information. Friday, February 12th begins Medical Marijuana Week. This will be taking place everywhere and is sponsored by Americans for Safe Access. .org/MMJ Week. Also on Friday, February 12th, University of New Hampshire Normal will be having a table at the Student Activities Fair on Friday evening. On Saturday, February 13th, Normal of Waco, Inc. has their membership meeting. This will be taking place at La Fiesta on Hewitt Drive. Check out normalofwacoinc.org. Oregon Normal will be having their bi-monthly patients meeting, cardholders meeting, at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakin in Portland, Oregon. You must be an OMMP cardholder and Oregon Normal member to attend. Check out ornorml.org for more details. We also have on Sunday, February 14th, Normal of Waco, Inc. is participating in Texas Highway 164 cleanup. That's the Adopt a Highway that they've taken, and they'll be cleaning up the road. It's a whole lot better cleaning up the road as a normal volunteer than as a guy in the sheriff's orange jumpsuit. Also, on Sunday, February 14th, it is Valentine's Day, and there will be a St. Valentine's Day candlelight vigil for those who are prisoners of the war on drugs. This will be taking place in Cleveland, Ohio, sponsored by Miami Valley Normal. Check them out at mvnormal.org. And one quick announcement coming up on the chat, Pittsburgh Normal in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, will be having their meeting on the 11th. And if I can scroll it back up here, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. At the Ava Bar and Lounge in Pittsburgh, check out pittsburghnormal.org for more information. All of that can be found at the Normal Calendar of Events. Check that out at normal.org/calendar. Okay, folks, you know what that sound means? It's getting close to 20 after the hour, so we got to prepare for that extra special break. We'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes and Sarah Kant.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on NORML Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, we got this song in the mailbox from Sara out in Boston, and she is buried in snow, as most of the people in the Northeast are, so I'll take care of the introduction. This is a song from F-Fact, and it's called We Stand Proud. Now, F-Fact is a house and trance project of Frank Leering, who was born in the Nude Schwarwoud of the Netherlands. I probably didn't pronounce that right at all, but was born in the Netherlands and is currently living in the Dutch town of Langejek. Turning 40 this September, Frank has been producing electronic music since 1997. Unfortunately, this is all the information we could find on Frank and F-Fact at the Stash, even with some extensive research. Now, We Stand Proud, the song you're about to hear, is a spacey, soaring trance tune utilizing breakbeat breakdowns, adding a new flavor to the often stale trance formula. With a heavy bass kick, ethereal melody, high production values, and even use of a pan flute, this sweet, evocative, yet modernistic song is long but cohesive throughout and calls for copious dancing. We'll be playing just a portion of this song for you and let you know that Frank and F-Fact can be found on GarageBand.com, and they also have a website. We have a link to that up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And if you go to stash.normal.org, you can download just about every tune you hear in the Daily Toker Tunes. Just look for the main menu under Media, and then Tunes. This is F-Fact with We Stand Proud. That's F-Fact from the Netherlands with We Stand Proud. Check it out on our blog at stash.normal.org. You can get this download and others. We'll be right back with Allison Holcomb from the ACLU of Washington. On the
road again. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
All right, welcome back to Normal Show Live. We are going to go to the phone lines now and speak with Allison Holcomb. She is with the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington, working for marijuana law reform and other civil liberties issues up there in the Evergreen State. Allison, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Russ. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. There's so much going on in Washington State. We reported earlier on a legalization bill that was floated in the legislature, had a committee hearing, but then ultimately was tabled. Now we're talking about a decriminalization measure that seems to have a little bit more legs. Can you tell us what the status is right now?
Sure. Senate Bill 5615 is pending in the Washington State Senate. It is in the Rules Committee and poised to be brought to the floor for a full vote by the Senate. And Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown has indicated that that's exactly what she wants to do. She's just taking an informal headcount of the senators to see where they are on the issue.
Well, that's excellent. And another issue that's been brought up here has to do with the state's medical marijuana law, a SB 5798, that expands it. In what way does this bill expand the medical marijuana law in Washington?
What it does is it makes it a little bit easier for people with terminal and debilitating medical conditions to receive authorization to engage in the medical use of marijuana. Currently, Washington law allows medical physicians and osteopathic physicians to authorize the medical use of cannabis. What this law does is expands that list of folks to include physician's assistants, osteopaths, physicians, naturopaths, and advanced registered nurse practitioner. So all of those folks would now be able to authorize the medical use of cannabis. And that's really important for Washingtonians living out in rural areas where it's difficult for them sometimes to get to medical doctors in the big cities.
Would this improve access as well for patients in the state of Washington who might be a little more on the side of poverty? You know, doctors are expensive, and some of these alternative treatment providers can be a little bit better financially, can't they?
That's absolutely right, Russ, and that's a really good point. A lot of the folks that want to be able to engage in the medical use of cannabis with authorization don't have health insurance, for example, and it's really expensive to go see a medical doctor, whereas if you can see an advanced nurse practitioner, someone who's probably taking care of your other health issues as well, and he or she is able to authorize that for you, it's a lot easier on the pocketbook.
Oh, excellent. Also joining us on the telephone here from the eastern side of the state is the head of the newly promoted chapter Washington Normal, formerly Inland Northwest Normal, now promoted to a statewide Washington chapter because there's just so much going on. Kevin Oliver joins us from Spokane. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ.
Kevin, I'm so happy to have a new statewide presence in the state of Washington, and if you'll indulge me just a second, the last we heard from a Washington Normal was at the hearings for legalization, the legalization bill, when this unfortunate testimony was offered.
Hi, my name is Lee Newberry. I'm the director of the Washington State Chapel of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and it's quite odd for me to be on this side, but I'm here to oppose both bills. 1177.
So we had that situation where Washington Normal was, you know, quoted as opposing these bills in the legislative hearing, and not but a half hour after Normal board member George Rohrabacher testified in favor of them. Can you clear up for us now the newly established Washington State Normal, where you stand on decrim and legalization, and what's next for you?
Well, I would say as a state chapter, we are fully endorsing the mission statement of Normal, which is to, from a libertarian point of view, really repeal all marijuana laws. That's not actually what's happening. It's just piecemeal by piecemeal. I'm not sure why Lee would oppose the bills, and I very much respect retired Senator George Rohrabacher and his contribution from the national chapter to be at our Washington hearing. As a Washingtonian, of course, he's got a horse in the race. Those would be his own words.
Absolutely.
Our stance as a chapter, we have a very active board made up of a severely disabled handicapped patient, a philosopher, myself, a program manager for a local media outlet, and PhD out at Eastern University, and then a graphics designer who helps us with a few things. And our we talk regularly, and this isn't just my opinion to support the Normal mission statement. It is a consensus of our board, as it should be, and our advisory panel, which is made up of a few of the national members who live here in Washington State. And I'd also like to formally ask Ms. Holcomb to be on that advisory panel, if she would. I don't know if this is the proper time to do that. Honestly, the advice and the motivation that people such as herself lend to this movement is unequivocally sound and very powerful.
All right. Well, Kevin, we are kind of up against the clock for today. We got so much to cover in the show, but I did want to give you a chance. If folks out there in Washington State want to get in touch with you, I know you're looking at forming subchapters all over the state. How can they get in touch with the new Washington Normal?
Well, if they're listening to us on Skype or over the Internet through a podcast, they're no doubt Internet savvy, and I would suggest they just either go to the normal.org national site and scroll to Washington State. You'll see a listing of all the subchapters, and then there'll be one link to our main contact. Now, we have throughout the state, from Seattle and Olympia, that's King County, Thurston County, as well as the eastern borders of Stevens, Soton, and Spokane County, already formed subchapters, as well as Whitman and Walla Walla County, which are two central counties. Oh, I'm sorry, and Cittitas, which is Ellensburg.
Right.
And what these basically consist of is individuals who are willing to field calls or arrange meetings, such as meetings for the Sensible Washington Campaign Free Support in those areas. They'll be included in statewide meetings and other responsibilities as our duties are incurred. And basically, they can just go to the website or wanormal.org. It's all the same linkage from your site to our site.
All right. Check out wanormal.org for more information on Washington Normal. And to round out here, Allison Holcomb from the ACLU of Washington, what can our listeners do to help along those bills that are needing so much help there in Washington State?
The most important thing they can do is go to the Washington State Legislature's website and look up their senator that represents them, and contact that senator and ask that senator to please help bring Senate Bill 5615-5615 to the floor for a vote.
All right. Allison Holcomb from the ACLU of Washington and Kevin Oliver from Washington Normal, thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
Our top story this week on the California Marijuana Report, legislation is in the works at the state capitol that would dramatically change how marijuana is regulated in California. The plan requires everyone involved in the marijuana industry throughout the state, from growers to distributors to retailers, to register with the state and pay a licensing fee. Marijuana would also be subject to an excise tax, as high as 41%. The proposal is being pushed by Board of Equalization member Jerome Horton and will be introduced by Senator Ron Calderon, a Democrat from Los Angeles. Calderon's bill does not address marijuana's current criminal status. Joining us now to discuss this issue and the new piece of legislation is Rocky Rushing, who is Senator Ron Calderon's chief of staff. Rocky Rushing, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Eric.
Rocky, let me ask you this. I see that the senator has taken this issue head on. This marijuana bill has been floating around up and down the state now. We're talking about Amiano's bill. It died a legislative death last week. We are hoping for some action on this issue, the people of California. What can we expect if Senator Ron Calderon's bill becomes law?
Make sure that everyone listening to this understands that this bill does not legalize marijuana beyond what state law currently allows. The legislation that we're proposing is needed for a number of reasons, but first and foremost, it's a control measure. With the number of medical marijuana dispensaries increasing dramatically in California, we need to know who's growing the product, who's selling it, and who's selling it for medical purposes. Senator Calderon's bill will not legalize marijuana for recreational use, like I said. But currently, we have no idea, really, how many dispensaries there are in the state, medicinal dispensaries. And we don't know where they get their marijuana from. So if this bill is passed, the BOE estimates that it could generate upwards of $160 million just through the medical marijuana dispensaries alone.
Senator Ron Calderon, why is he so concerned with knowing who grows it? Is there a specific reason why?
Well, Senator Calderon's from L.A. County. The city of Los Angeles, as you're well aware, has just gone through a multi-year debate over how to control dispensaries. The number of dispensaries throughout the state is increasing dramatically, with the Obama administration stating that the federal government would cease this war on legally operating dispensaries here in California. They have flourished since that point. There are dispensaries that are operating under the law, meaning that they are registering with local authorities. They're paying sales tax. But not a lot. Not a lot of dispensaries are actually doing that. The Board of Equalization estimates that in California, Californians are consuming 6.1 million ounces of medical marijuana, yet only $8 million in taxes have been paid.
Okay, Rocky, if I may interrupt.
9.1% tax rate. What does that mean? That means that legally operating dispensaries are paying their taxes, and those operating underground, so to speak, are not. And that creates an unlevel playing field for those dispensaries that are operating above board.
Yes,
that's
one
of the things we're trying to correct.
But the question was, with all due respect, why is the senator so concerned about who's growing it and where it's coming from?
Because it's a product that should be taxed. It's a product that should be controlled. I'm sure there are quality issues involved. And if the cloud of suspicion is ever to be raised away from dispensaries that are operating now, it's going to take state regulation to do so.
Now, where is your proof in that, Mr. Rushing, with all due respect? Again, why wouldn't a private third party, independent of any government organization, be able to oversee the marijuana industry in California?
Well, the mechanisms are set up in California to do so. If you're selling a product to the public, related tax.
So the senator from Los Angeles, Senator Calderon, is very concerned about the state getting its fair share of revenue, the state getting its so-called fair share of revenue from these medical marijuana dispensaries, from the growers, I'm also assuming from the users. Nobody's going to be left out. Mr. Rushing, being that this is a top priority, obviously, for the senator, why has it taken him so many years to put this legislation forward?
Well, the legislation was brought to us by Jerome Horton, who had was recently appointed to the Board of Equalization, and we thought it was a good idea. As I said, you're seeing controversies brought to light just about every day from various communities throughout the state on how to control and regulate medical marijuana dispensaries. In Los Angeles in particular, where Senator Calderon hails from, Jerome Horton had brought this idea to Senator Calderon. We thought it was a good idea, and in light of the state's economic situation, people are looking for different sources for revenue, and we thought this was one area where the state was certainly being underpaid in terms of the revenue that should be coming in, and we wanted to correct that.
Okay, fair enough. So we have a senator from Los Angeles very concerned about the state's fiscal health, and Senator Calderon is turning to medical cannabis and the people who run these dispensaries and the folks who grow this remarkable drug. Now, let me ask you this, though, Mr. Rushing. If this is the case, does Senator Calderon have any worries and any thoughts on the criminal justice system continuing their involvement in the world of marijuana here in California? Is he troubled by an ongoing effort from the law enforcement community to not only eradicate this plant, but arrest people who use it?
Well, I don't want to confuse this piece of legislation that we are proposing with an effort to legalize marijuana, either Assemblymember Amiano's proposals or the initiative, which I believe is going to be on the ballot in June, is it? Or
Tax Cannabis 2010 in November.
Okay. I don't want to confuse the efforts. Senator Calderon's beliefs on the criminal justice issue and the criminalization of marijuana as it stands right now is kind of peripheral to what we're trying to accomplish, and I don't think either efforts are best served by discussing the two at the same time. I don't want your listeners to believe that Senator Calderon either supports or doesn't support the criminalization efforts. This measure that we're proposing is independent of that discussion. So we're as I said, we're trying to look at controlling the product, ensuring that the state gets the revenues that it should be receiving as a result of the sale of that product, improving the climate for dispensaries to operate legally in the state without that additional scrutiny from local law enforcement and local government officials.
That being said, all due respect to the senator, these taxes that the state will now be collecting off the backs of hardworking people run these medical marijuana dispensaries, these same taxes that you're going to be collecting will also be used to arrest, incarcerate Californians who use marijuana, who maybe step outside the state guidelines. Maybe they're growing seven plants instead of six. These same taxes that the senator from Los Angeles is going to help the state collect on the backs of medical marijuana patients, growers, and users will be recycled right back into the criminal justice system to arrest, prosecute, and incarcerate nonviolent marijuana users. Isn't that correct, Mr. Rushing?
The money actually is not earmarked for law enforcement. The money will go into the general fund, which is also used to provide health and human services, especially those who utilize medicinal marijuana for other services that they might need, like in home support services, IHSS, or other medical needs that they might have that they might not be able to afford without government assistance. It goes into education, teaching these very same folks who have children paying for their education at public schools. It's from sales tax generated by medicinal marijuana or, frankly, recreational marijuana would go into the general fund just like the income tax paid by these very same folks who, if they're paying their state income tax, the operators of medical marijuana dispensaries or those who are legally growing and selling medicinal marijuana, they're paying income, theoretically they're paying income tax, and the income tax they pay as a result of their employment in the industry also goes for those services.
The law enforcement community cannot tap into that general fund. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's no more ironic that sales tax generated from medicinal marijuana would go to help law enforcement enforce drug laws of the state than the state income tax going for that very same purpose. Income tax coming from people who are legally employed in the medicinal marijuana industry is going into the general fund, and the general fund money is used for a vast array of purposes.
Right.
Education, health and human services, law enforcement, public safety. It's all the same thing. It all comes out of the same pot, and no pun intended.
Here's the problem that with what I'm hearing from you, Rocky. The California Marijuana Report will not cease production until every single Californian who is in prison for marijuana is released. Until every single Californian in the state who has suffered at the hands of these cruel and draconian district attorneys who have introduced these nonviolent offenders, these nonviolent marijuana offenders, into the violent and dangerous criminal justice system here in California. I ask you, Rocky, you're the chief of staff for Senator Ron Calderon. How do you feel, personally, about the ongoing war against folks here in California who use marijuana? Do you believe this is something that you can continue to get behind?
Can Rocky Russian continue to get behind the ongoing war on marijuana?
Arrests, that includes kicking in people's doors who are growing. That includes traumatizing the children of these households as the police rummage around to find the little plants growing in the house. That includes the stress of hiring a lawyer, of the pretrial hearings, and of course, incarceration and visitation of a family member in a penal institution here in California simply for using or growing or distributing marijuana. Is this something the Democratic senator from Los Angeles that you work for, Mr. Rushing, is this something that he can continue to support?
Well, Eric, I accepted the invitation to come on and discuss this with you because I wanted to discuss Senator Calderon's soon-to-be-introduced legislation. As I suggested earlier, that it might be difficult to get through both houses of the legislature and on to the governor's desk because it's just a difficult thing to do here in Sacramento to get bills through the process. It would become even more so difficult if it were suspected that this bill was in any way, shape, or form connected to the effort to legalize marijuana. So, as I said before, I don't want to confuse the two efforts. I'm sure the proponents of the legalization effort would be in a much better position to explain the benefits of that position and moving that forward. I'd rather not do that, get into that discussion, because that's not what I'm here to discuss. And Senator Calderon's position on the issue is not the issue for this day on this topic. I'm just trying to keep focused on
Rocky Rushing, I can't thank you enough for your candor, especially in that last answer. I will assure you of this. There are very few listeners who would agree with you, Mr. Rushing, that this is a good idea to tax and further regulate the medical marijuana industry and recycle that tax money back into the law enforcement community and the doldrums of the California state correctional institutions. Rocky Rushing, the chief of staff of Democratic State Senator Ron Calderon from Los Angeles, thank you so much for joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
NORMAL stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NORMAL chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, we're going to the Great Midwest now, to the state of Missouri, and we're going to be speaking with NORMAL board member and coordinator of Missouri NORMAL, Dan Vietz. Dan, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, so we're calling you up because we've got a lobby day coming up tomorrow in Missouri for your House Bill 1670. Tell folks about that bill. What will it do for the state of Missouri?
That bill would do essentially what has happened in 14 other states and now in the District of Columbia, and that is to eliminate the possibility of criminal prosecution for patients who use marijuana with a doctor's approval, with a doctor's recommendation. And that is our fundamental goal, of course. The specifics are negotiable, but that's where we want to get to, of course. We are hopeful that we'll make more progress this year, since we have now bipartisan sponsorship. The Republican Party is firmly in control of both houses of the Missouri General Assembly right now, and they have seen this as a partisan issue because previously we've only had Democratic sponsors. Mm. About a dozen of them last year. This year we're up to 16 co-sponsors, and most significantly among them is a leader in the House, Republican Robert Schock, who is also a physician. And we are very hopeful that the bill may be assigned to his committee. He chairs a health committee in the House. If that happens, we presume we can count on a quick hearing and possibly getting that bill passed out onto the House floor. It makes a lot of things possible, which we're hoping for and cannot be certain of.
All right. Well, let's tell folks about the lobby day tomorrow. Where and when do they need to be, and who can they call for more information?
Well, folks can go online to get more information, and I think that they'll find normal.org has a pretty good basic information about that up on the National NORMAL website. The plan is to meet at 9:30 a.m. If you can get there that early, meet at 9:30 a.m. in the center of the rotunda of the building, the very center of the building, and to go forth from there. I believe, I know that there are some appointments that have been scheduled, but those are always iffy with legislators while the legislature is in session. And, whether or not you have an appointment is really beside the point, because you have to catch these guys when they're in between sessions. And often you can find them in their office, but sometimes you can get them called off the floor of the House or even the Senate to come and speak with you out in the hallway. But there'll be folks there who have a good grasp of how things work down there. I think John Kaufman, our good friend, who is the lobbyist for the ACLU, will probably be there to help folks get oriented and answer any questions they have about specifics.
Well, that sounds great. And, of course, Missouri has got a number of normal chapters, Joplin, Springfield, Greater St. Louis, Kansas City, and, of course, Missouri Normal. All of their websites should have some information on it as well. And it's one of the best things you can do to get involved in changing marijuana laws is to actually, hoof it down to the State House and talk face-to-face with these guys. You start to realize they're people, and they can listen to reason in most respects.
That's absolutely right, Russ. That is the essence of it. We have to change the laws, and over 90% of the prosecutions take place in state courts under state law.
Right.
So the battles have to be fought in the 50 states. And the experience of going to the Missouri State Capitol is really a lot of fun. I mean, I have never failed to enjoy my trips to the Capitol, and I think anyone, Missouri citizens especially, but really anyone who's in the area should stop by and see our Capitol, which is one of the most beautiful capitals in the nation. It's been said that it's the one that most closely resembles the National Capitol architecturally, and there's some awesome artwork in there. George Caleb Bingham did some artwork for our Capitol, as did Thomas Hart Benton.
Oh, wow.
Very famous and controversial murals there. But the essence of it is just to call on your legislators. Now, folks who can't make it down there should not feel shut out by any means. You don't have to go to Jeff City to lobby these guys. They come home every weekend.
That's
and
right.
So they actually come home on Thursday. On Thursday afternoon. Thursday afternoon through Monday morning, they're going to be right there in their home districts.
All
so
right.
Folks don't have to go to Jeff City to lobby effectively. And, of course, you can always call them. You can always write to them. You can always fax them or email them.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan, for the information. We're rounding up the show here. I'm sorry I've got to cut you off. We're just getting to the end. We appreciate you calling us, and take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you grow it.